Our scripture comes from John 13:34, 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. Love one another, just as I have loved you. You must also love one another. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not easily provoked.
The subject is love. Really, the only hope for any of us is to learn to love. I think it's why Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. Almost like he wanted to add to the Ten Commandments. Add this one commandment that really summarized the teachings, I believe, of the Ten Commandments. Love one another. The Bible says that he who has loved fulfills the law. So it's very important. It's not just optional. It's not just something, I already know that, and I love, but I have shortcomings, but it's not optional. It's something that we need to learn to do, and it's not something I don't even think that we can pray for. We're going to talk about patience this morning, and last time you may remember about 3 weeks ago I shared a message on the priority of love, and so this is the second installment, if you will, of the love theme. I trust, Lord willing, that we'll go another four times, to kind of take this 40 days of love, if you will, if you've heard that program that Saddleback Church has done, but others do it too. I mean, it's not just, we think, well, we're here, we're not there. It's in the Bible. It's something that we all need to do. Take that love dare. Take that challenge to learn what love is all about. We looked at love's priority. Jesus and the Bible, of course, Jesus said that the Scriptures testify of Him. He is really the author, I believe, of the Scriptures. But He taught, the Bible does, that love should be number one in our lives, the number one virtue. We may think faith. Well, faith is important, certainly. Certainly hope. Those three, faith, hope, and love, are mentioned in that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But it says the greatest of these is love. Today we look at love's patience. We're all familiar with the prayer, God, give me patience and give it to me now. We think it's a prayer. It's because we don't pray enough for patience. It's not really something. I don't think that God may do things in our lives to teach us patience, and He does. But the Bible says you have need of patience, speaking to us. We have need of patience, that after we have done the will of God, we might receive the promise. And so patience is a little like faith. It's something that we have to do. I'm not sure even that it's like faith and that, we can get it just from reading the Bible. It's something that we learn by the experiences of life and what God brings into our lives. I believe He does that to teach us patience. And I think it's all part of love. I think if we learn to love, we're going to learn really what patience is, because patience is really a part of love, as I think we'll see. Well, I want us to look at love's measure, first of all, or patience's measure. Patience, remember, we're talking about love and patience as a part of that package, if you will, of what biblical love really is. I think it means, in part, patience. love's priority. We looked at that 2 weeks ago. This morning, we'll look at love's patience. Next week, love's passion. The week after that, love's pardon. Love's posture is the fifth. And then love's perspective. So you don't have to write those down, but I have the sheet out there if you're interested. But this morning, I want us to look at patience. Patience is measure, first of all. What is the measure of patience? If we could look at that scripture passage there that Jesus spoke these words. He said, I give you a new commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. Now, I know it doesn't say anything there about patience, but I want to kind of tie that in with these verses in 1 Corinthians that we read, because I think that there's a reading between the lines here. We can see the patience of Christ. There's a command here of that patience, of that measure, rather. Patience is measure. He said, as I have loved you, love one another. It's a command, isn't it? In fact, he said, a new commandment I give to you, love one another. Now, are commands from Christ and from the Bible optional? I don't think so. I think we would all agree. These are obligatory. These are things that we need to do. This is something that we need to pay attention to, because I haven't really counted how many times the Lord said this, and then later, especially John seemed to learn more than the others did about love. The others seemed to be more interested in other qualities, I suppose, courage and things like that. John understood, and so he repeated this several times throughout his epistles. And, of course, this is in the Gospel of John here. But there's a command here to love one another. There's a comparison. He said, as I have loved you. And I'm sure that they must have thought about that. I don't know that they thought about it at the time. I think, like us, they were kind of thick-headed. And maybe they thought about it later. What did he mean? As I have loved you. But as he came, as he spent 3 years with these men, and they saw his heart, they saw his love, they saw how he was moved with compassion for others and for them. As I have loved you, Jesus said. No doubt must have thought of the time that he stooped down and washed their feet, and how he went to the cross, and how he forgave them for their sins. Peter certainly understood that. I think he came to understand that later. I'm not sure he understood it at this time. But there was a constant. You must also love one another, Jesus said. I think of that day that Peter came to Jesus. And I don't know whether he was thinking about Andrew or maybe one of his, I don't know that he had other brothers, we're not told, but he said, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And he may have been thinking about his brother disciples. And he said, well, Peter suggested an answer to his own question. He said, till 70 times. And he must have thought, 70 times? I can't even think about, you know, forgiving someone 70 times. So surely that would be often enough. But Jesus said, no. I say not to you 70 times, but 70 times 7. And I think what Jesus was saying is don't put a limit. Don't count the offenses. Don't keep a record of faults that you have found in another person, a brother or sister. And I think here we see patience, the patience of Christ, the patience that he wants us to learn in love. It's all a part of love. I think if we have not learned to be patient, and we are impatient with people, and we feel like we are justified in feeling anger and resentment and unforgiveness toward another person, we have certainly not learned the lesson of love. And so there's patience's measure here in these words of Christ. There's also, we can learn from patience's manners. As we turn now to the passage in 1 Corinthians, and in verse 4, I think I said 5 and 6, it's verses 4 and 5. He said, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited. And I want us just to focus on that verse there. Because I think here we can see patience's manners. What's a part? What are the manners of love, or of this aspect of love, being patient, a part of love? What does that mean as far as our manners? We all, I'm sure, were told when we were children, we probably have been told since then, watch your manners. Or at least we've remembered, you know, that someone said that to us. And so, you know, we want to be mannerly people. I'm sure we all aspire to that. Maybe we're not there yet, but we're hopefully moving in that direction toward being mannerly people. Well, what does that mean? we can learn from it. It's civility, what that word means. I think there's civility. And I looked up that word in the dictionary. And the word means courteous behavior, politeness, common courtesy. Well, common courtesy, of course, is not common. Would that it were more common. But it has to start somewhere. So why shouldn't it start with us? Here it says love is patient. Love is kind. And I see in that civility. We're patient with others. We're not impatient. We don't become irritated when people tend to get in our way of going where we want to go or doing what we want to go do. Children sometimes be that way. I know they get impatient with us as parents. God has put us in this world, I think, to learn how to be Christian. And part of being Christian is, of course, being civil, being courteous, being polite. Nobility as well. Nobility means exalted in character. Here it says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited. You know, I looked up that word, kind. Love is patient, love is kind. That word that's translated kind there is the Greek word Christos. 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 If you were spelling it in English, you'd probably spell it C-R-E-S-T-O-S. Now, what does that sound like to you? I think so. I think it sounds like Christ. Now, I don't know that it intended that, but remember the New Testament was written in Greek. I don't think it's an accident that here's a word that sounds very much like Christ. We are to be Christ-like, aren't we? We are to be mannerly people. It's part of being love, of learning to love. Now, I know it's popular today to think, we're volatile people. We want to be what we are. We've got to be your own self. You know, let the true inner you come out. All this, there's a biblical word for it, but I won't share it. But it's really not what we should aspire to. We should aspire to the greatest example of love, and that is Christ. To be Christ-like should be our goal. So if you want to know how you should live, then read the Gospels. When you come across, and of course it's all about Jesus, but when you come across character traits of Jesus, write them down and ask the Lord, help me to be like this. Help me to live like Jesus lived. Because that's really what I think we're talking about when we talk about manners. Patience is manners. There's a civility. There's a nobility. There's a humility as well. Now it says, I think in the King James Version, love does not vaunt itself or vaunteth itself not up or something like that. It sounds like a foreign language, but really what it's saying there is not proud, is not prideful, and doesn't put itself on a pedestal above others and kind of use others as stepping stones to where we want to be. I like the Greek word there. It's hyperomai. It just sounds to me like a word that would mean to vaunt oneself up. Rather, we are to be humble. It says, does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited. Again, all a part of this package of Christian manners. When I was a boy, I used to make fun. I think it was Emily Post. We used to, among the boys, we had three boys in our family, and one girl, our sister, was the youngest, so we kind of ruled. The boys ruled, and we used to make fun of manners. But as Christians, we need to be like Christ. And where we are deficient, where we fall short, that's where we need to rise. To be like Jesus is really to be people who have learned the lesson of love or are learning the lesson of love. I don't know that we're going to be perfect. Well, we're not going to be perfect until we get to heaven. But there's patience as measure that we can learn from. Patience is manner. And also patience is mastery. It goes on to say in 1 Corinthians does in verse 13, chapter 13, verse 5, does not act improperly. I'm talking about love. Does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not easily provoked. And I think what it's saying there is that there are actions that match the words. Does not act, it says in my translation here, does not act improperly. Does not act improperly. Our actions must match our words. Are our actions matching our words? Or are we just kind of preachy people? I think it's why some people don't like Christians, frankly, because sometimes we come across as being preachy when we ought to be living the truth that we profess more than we are, not selfish. It speaks of our motives. Did not Jesus say that
If we are to follow him, we must take up our crosses and follow him. And not just take up our crosses, but didn't he say daily? We are to take up our crosses daily and follow him. Deny ourselves. It's really, I think, a part, again, of this package of love. I think as we go along in life, we understand more of that. God puts people in our homes or in our sphere of influence, and maybe it's a little easier to learn love. When we come into this world, we come in crying and wanting everything to come to us, and it really defines that stage of life that we know as babyhood. But then as we get a little older, we go to school and we learn to get along with others at least, and not fight, as part of what we're all taught. But God leads us along to make us learn this lesson, love one another. I think Brother Clyde shared quite a bit about this last week. And I think his last words from the pulpit were, love, love one another. It's what John said. It's really, I think, the last echo that God wants us to hear from his word, love one another. And so it speaks of motives. It speaks of control. It's not easily provoked, it says here. Now, I have easily in parentheses there because it's not really found in the scriptures. That's why the translation that I'm referring to here, the Holman Christian Standard, does not include easily in there. It just says is not provoked. But really, I think what it means is not easily provoked. I think that word is kind of needed to kind of understand what that's saying there, because I think we've all been provoked. And we know what it is to be provoked. We are not to be people that are easily provoked. I think what that means is that we should not use our personalities, let's say, as an excuse for getting mad at somebody. I think we're pretty good at that in the human race. We think, well, mom and dad, they fought like cats and dogs, or we have this tradition in our family that we're all kind of hot-tempered people. And so, if I get angry and blow up at you, you'll understand. Like a shotgun blast, it's over in a hurry, but it can do a lot of damage. So I think sometimes we use our background and our personalities, what the personalities that God has given us, as an excuse for being the way we are, kind of putting the blame on God. Well, if you want to blame somebody for the way I act, blame God. He made me. And we kind of think that way. Well, I confess, I think that way sometimes. Maybe you don't. But I think you probably are like me, and sometimes you use that as a crutch. If you do, then just know that we all are fellow strugglers along this path. But God wants to learn us, teach us. Learn us, if you prefer that. Wants to learn us. Okay, we'll go with learn us. He wants to learn us how to love one another. And may we learn the lesson. May we just say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be enrolled in that school. I want to learn how to love as you loved me.
Love is kind and suffers long. Love is meek and thinks no wrong. Love than death itself more strong. Therefore let us love. Prophecy will love in heaven will be more bright. hope and love we see, joining hand in hand agree. But the best one of the three, and the greatest of them all, the greatest of them all, the greatest of them all.